folks. I'm just trying out my Chuck program. Trying to find some good music to start the show with. You're hearing me now because you're listening to the advance 5 minutes while I set up and get ready for the show before we go on air. Oh, that's an interesting one.
Beep. That means I hit the restart button,
And we got a bunch of new random parameters, and everything's all hooked up differently. So we got a different song. This one is far more mellow. A little bit high pitched for my taste, though. Let's hit that boop again. Oh, I like this one. This is almost rock and roll. Let's leave this one on for a while. Hey, everybody in the chat room, can you hear me? Hello, test 1, 2, 3, test. Dang, I've got to type it. People, there's a show going on here. Tune in, tune out, drop in, drop out. Okay, make the music softer relative to the voice. Hello, test. Thank you for that feedback, Mosk. By the way, our fearless leader, the founder of electromusic.com, Mosk, is listening today, and he's driving to a city in the Northeast where I was born. So say hi to the folks in that city, Mosk. We're going to be talking about CMOS. So, let's get started with that stuff. Oh, I was going to give you a description of the show. We're going to talk about this music you're listening to. We're going to talk about some CMOS theory and CMOS as a digital logic family and CMOS as a linear logic or linear amplifier. We're going to look at some scope plots on the forum from an oscilloscope, and we're going to play around with the Chuck program to close out the show. Okay. Mosk is not driving. Jeff is in his own world. Jeff is not even listening to the show. Hello, Jeff. He's listening to his own recorded samples from Fermilab. I know what that's like. You get excited about something and you don't care what's on the radio. Okay. Inverters. I want to tell you a little bit about some stuff I learned in college about CMOS. The CMOS inverter is a special device because it's very, very simple. It's made of two transistors, a P-channel transistor and an N-channel transistor. And we're gonna, let's take a look at the forum and navigate to the linear CMOS thread. I'll tell you how to get there so you can see a picture of an inverter. You go to, as always, www.electro-music.com. Go to the forum. Go to the Lunettas. Circuits inspired by Stanley Lunetta. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 down from the top is a linear CMOS thread. So what I want you to do is go to that thread and scrolling down to near the very bottom of the first page. And here we have a post by Jovian Pix where he's talking about the 4007 IC. And the 4007 IC is, if I remember correctly, it's a transistor collection that you can wire up into three inverters. And he has drawn three inverters in a little picture here. So now the one on the left is not being used, and the one in the middle and the one on the right are the same, they're just duplicates. So we're going to look at those and look at the structure. We have a p-channel transistor on the top connected to what says audio one there. We want that to be VDD, the supply rail, and an n-channel transistor on the bottom connected to ground. The outputs of the transistors are connected together to the output, and the inputs of the transistors are connected together to the input. And by output, I mean the source. No, the drain. Don't get that mixed up. And the gate to the input, and then the source of the p-channel transistor goes to VDD, and the source of the n-channel transistor goes to ground. Oh, Mosk has asked me to post that link. Why didn't I think of that? Post the link. Duh. Okay, there's the link, everybody, in chat. Click on that and scroll to the bottom, and you'll see a picture of an inverter. We're going to be bouncing around this particular thread. It's only two pages. But there's a few cool stuff that we're going to look at here. A few cool stuffs. And one of them is this inverter. Okay. So an inverter is kind of neat because it consists of only two transistors. No resistors, no capacitors, no inductors, no springs, no wires, no elastic. Nothing else. Just two transistors. And I'm going to talk about two models of these transistors. The first one is the switch model. We can think of a transistor as a switch. In particular, a CMOS transistor is an easy to understand operation of a transistor because it has a channel, much like a pipe of water, pipe carrying water, and it has a gate over the channel. And when you apply a voltage to that gate, it creates an electric field that pinches off the channel and prevents electrons or holes from flowing in the channel. This is very analogous to a valve on a pipe. So we have a valve that can turn on or off. I have got to change that music. Let's listen to these clicks for a while. That was a little too active for me. It was getting me worked up. Alrighty. So our model here, I'll tell you what, let's work with this pipe model. You've got a pipe, and the pipe is the channel of the transistor, and water wants to flow through the pipe, and you can control that by turning the valve on and off, the gate on and off, the transistor on and off, the channel on and off. You see, that's our analogy, the old water tower analogy, where the battery is like a big water tower, and it's got water pressure, and it wants to flow to ground, and you've got a valve. Okay. Well, in CMOS, you have two valves. And these two valves are connected together with, a stick of metal, a rod, on pins. So you got a handle on this stick of metal, and you lift the handle up like an Igor switch from the movie Dr. Frankenstein. Throw the switch, Igor! It's alive! I turned on the CMOS gate. Okay. Just being a little silly there. But, so imagine this Igor switch, and you're Igor, and I'm Dr. Frankenstein, and, who's Frankenstein? How about Phobos? Phobos, we've brought Phobos back to life. And I say throw the switch, and you throw the switch, and then current flows. Okay. Alright. Now, imagine now that, let's get this analogy right here. These switches are, these valves are opposites. So that when you pull down on that switch, the P-channel valve at the top turns on and water appears at output. That's a logic one. When you push up on the switch, the N-channel transistor, the N-channel valve at the bottom turns on and the P-channel turns off. And then the water drains out to ground. And you have nothing but air in the pipes. That's a logic zero. Okay, enough of the switch analogy. Enough of Igor in the switch. That's how an inverter works. Kinda, sorta, sorta, kinda. I know, I said throw up, Scott. Throw the switch up. Okay. Alrighty. Now, this is the way we're accustomed to CMOS working, where we put a logic 1 at the input, we get a logic 0 at the output, we put a logic 0 at the input, we get a logic 1 at the output. But remember, in this analogy, we have valves. And a valve doesn't just shut on and off instantaneously. You gotta throw that switch all the way up or all the way down. What if you threw the switch halfway and kind of kept it there? And kept your, you held onto the switch and you actually, the water pressure is pushing on the switch and making it want to go down, so you push up on the switch and then the water pressure lightens up, makes it want to go and you sit there and regulate the switch, you could get half of the water flow, half air and half water coming out of the output. Phobos, but it can be done. It's done with the process of feedback. And then what happens is we have a thing called linear CMOS because we're holding the switch halfway in the middle. As a matter of fact, if you took a CMOS gate and you put a potentiometer on the input, a really sensitive potentiometer biased up just right, you could sit there and tweak that potentiometer and make the output transition between 1 and 0. You'd have an output value of 0.5. Or actually, it was 0.6 roughly in my test. But it could be 0.4. There's no guarantees. It depends on how they size the transistors. But that's a whole other story. And we're not going to get into details like the stuff that I don't remember from grad school that you don't need to know either. We're just going to use valve analogies and things like that. So, okay. How do we accomplish this feedback process? Well, if you take the output and you connect it to the input just with a wire, you'll actually get a high-frequency oscillator in real life, but in theory, this thing will regulate and balance itself about VDD over 2, VDD over 2, halfway. Because what's going to happen is, first of all, you're going to start out with everything at ground and you apply power. The output is zero. The output is ground. That means the input is ground because you connected it with a wire. Let's get some music. These clicky beeps are cute, but I want to keep you entertained. Alright, that'll do for now. Now, the input is near ground, so that valve at the top gets thrown open. And the water begins to flow. We start to have the output raises in voltage. And it goes up to... It tries to go up to the top, tries to go up to VDD, tries to go up to Logic 1. But when it gets there, it discovers... It causes the P-channel transistor on the top to shut off, and the N-channel transistor to turn on. This lowers the output. And the output goes up, and the output goes down, and the output goes up, and the output goes down. And it oscillates. It sits there and oscillates around VDD over 2. This is what happens when you take a CMOS inverter and you connect the output to the input. And you can do this. And you hook it up to the oscilloscope, and you see it wiggle. Well, it turns out that if you use a gain of 10, by putting a feedback resistor of, say, a mega ohm, and an input resistor of, say, 100k ohms, just for round numbers, the feedback resistor is 10 times the input resistor, then the up-down action will be minimized. It'll actually be essentially not there. And this thing will sit there at half of VDD. It self-biases to VDD over 2. Ta-da! Linear CMOS. And it works. It really works. So, let's look at some oscilloscope plots. And I'll reinforce what I just told you. We're leaving the bottom of page 1. Scroll down to the bottom of the page, the very bottom of the page, where it says to go to page 2 or next. Click either one of those. And ta-da, we're on page 2. Now scroll to the very bottom there, and we see 3 green pictures. These are pictures that I made about a week ago after last week's show of linear CMOS to show you how it works. This is actually of a NAND gate, but I tied the inputs of the NAND gate together, and that basically converts it into an inverter for all practical purposes. Now, let's look at the first plot. This is a plot of VIN versus VOUT. Let me get some feedback from the chat room. Is everybody on the pictures? Are you all looking at the photos? Hello, chat room. Oh, come on. I'm doing a radio show here. People, wake up. All right. I tell you what, this is the least amount of participation I've ever... Phobos is on the pictures. All right, it only takes one. All righty, Phobos. I'm talking to you. The first plot is just a calibration plot. It's VIN versus VOUT, and I'm using the XY mode of the scope. And I've got my one and only cheesy, half-broken scope probe hooked up to my breadboard, looking at the output And I didn't have another probe, so I just took a wire and stuck it in the channel 1, the X input, and wrapped the wire around the scope probe so it had somewhat of a capacitive connection to the ground there and was semi-shielded. And plugged that into the breadboard for these low frequencies, audio frequencies, that worked. Whatever, and you can see that. I'm not going to say what Phobos just said in the chat room. Okay, Phobos? you can see that the line is straight. And the scope is all centered up, and it's showing you the input versus the output is a straight line. That Y equals X. So everything's all calibrated up nicely. The scope is working. And let's scroll down to the third photograph to show you what's really going on with linear CMOS. In the third photograph, we see, I'll describe it for you if you're not listening, if you're not looking at the picture. We see a zigzag plot. There's three regions. It starts at the upper left, where the input is 0 and the output is 1. Remember, this is an inverter, so the transfer function of an inverter naturally starts at the upper left. Then as we increase Vin, it stays at Vout. The output stays at 1 until we reach near the middle, and then there's a linear slope down to the bottom. And then when it reaches the bottom, it stays at the bottom, moving to the right, and ends up at Vn equal maximum, or VDD, and Vout equals 0, ground minimum. So it's like, it looks like a swimming pool slide, where you get, you climb up the stairs to the top, and you kind of scoot forward, then you zip down, and then you shoot out the bottom and land in the pool, and climb up and do it again. And the scope is doing it 1,000 times a second, but it made this little picture for us. Now let's take a look at some details here. So this photograph is the natural behavior of a digital logic gate, except that the middle region there has a slope. If I were to make this plot, and I should have done this, if I were to make this plot without the feedback resistor and the input resistor and all that, and just swept it, it would be a vertical line in the middle, because it has quote-unquote infinite gain, quote-infinite-unquote gain. It's not really infinite, it's a fixed value, but it's very large. And so the slope is quite large. So you get an almost vertical line in the middle. But what we did is I put 100K feedback resistor and a 10K input resistor. And it's AC coupled with a 1 microfarad capacitor. And I fed in a sawtooth waveform to get these plots. I generated the waveforms in chuck, so we're actually looking at signals that were generated from my Mac Mini using chuck as a signal generator, which you can do. You just take the headphone output and hook it into your breadboard circuit, which is what I did, and then probe it with the scope. So what happens is, in linear CMOS, we play the game on that slope. Our input, we AC couple the input, we give it a gain of 10 or more so it doesn't self-oscillate, and we move up and down that slanted portion. Little bitty changes of the input, big changes of the output. And there we have linear CMOS. Now let me check. Nobody's asking nothing in the chat room. Okay. But people are listening. That's cool. Alright, now let's talk about one more thing. Let's look at the middle photograph. This photograph shows the circuit with a gain of 1. The input resistor is 100K and the output resistor is, the feedback resistor is 100K. In this situation, we get what I was talking about before when we just shorted the output to the input. Same sort of thing is happening. The thing is self-oscillating at very low inputs. We get a large output value, and at very large inputs we get a small output value. So the slope is negative, but what you can't really see because the photograph is kind of blurry is that thing is zigzagging up and down really, really, really fast at the speed of CMOS on a breadboard with all the parasitic capacitance of the breadboard. So, this is the situation we want to avoid. We want to avoid linear CMOS self-oscillating. And this is something that I learned in making these plots. I knew you had to have gain greater than 1, but I thought maybe 2 would be okay. No, it's got to be like gain of 10, or this thing's going to oscillate. Okay? Now, next up, I want to take you back to page 1. I remember I said we'd be bouncing around this thread a little bit. We're going to go back to page 1. Let's get something else to listen to. So I'll give everybody a moment. Go back to page 1 and scroll down to about 25% of the way down. We have a post by Slacker. I don't really know Slacker very well, but he posted here. I've seen him post in the Luneta sub forum, which is where we are. And he's made a Slack trem or Slack tremolo. One of his own designs, he says. And the reason I'm showing you this is that he's using CMOS in a linear mode in 3 places, and in all 3 of those places he's using a gain of 10 or more. So this is how you do it. Okay, let's take a look at those 3 places. Look at the lower left of this Slack trem picture. Check the chat room, see if anybody... Music Man is following. Hello, Music Man. Good to see you. And he's looking at Slack trem. Phobos is following. Princess Must Go. She's listening. Good job, she says. And Jeff never tuned in at all. I'm going to give you heck, Jeff. I'm going to wield the spoon of heck. Okay. Lower left, we see a 0.1 microfarad capacitor. Just enough capacitance. Really, 1 mic would be good, but this way you can use a ceramic. But you gotta capacitively couple the input. It's an AC situation. And then he's got a 4069 inverter, which is the kind of inverter to use because it does not have Schmitt trigger inputs. You don't want a Schmitt trigger input because that won't be linear. That'll oscillate no matter what you do with the gain. And look, there's a 470K input resistor and a 4.7 meg feedback resistor. So the feedback resistor is 10 times the input resistor. He set this up with a gain of 10. Well, I keep saying 10, it's really minus 10. Duh, I keep saying, but we call it 10. The absolute value of the gain is 10. So this thing ain't going to oscillate. And he's got a 0.047 mic capacitor on the output, a resistor to ground, a diode. That's all part of how the circuit is working. Then he's sort of mixing that. He's got two inverters on the upper left middle there, and a little feedback doohickey. That's an oscillator. He's got a 100K pod called Speed 100K with a 10K in series with it, so it never drops below 10K, and that controls the frequency of the signal that he's mixing. And see that 10K to the very left there, that 10K ohm resistor? That's the input resistor of the next stage. In the next stage, if you trace around the corner on the upper left, there's a 4069, pin 9 input, pin 8 output, 100K feedback resistor. Again, RF over RI is 10, so we have a gain, absolute value gain of 10. Then he's got some circuitry that has to do with how this is working. Trace the circuit down to the middle where the diodes meet, resistor to ground. And here we go again, a third linear CMOS amplifier. Cap on the input, 220K input resistor, 4.7 meg feedback resistor, approximately gain of 20. Might be 20, 21, 20 and a half, something like that. I don't know, do the math. Capacitor output resistor, biasing the output to ground and loading it. I don't know. I don't know exactly what all this stuff is doing, but all three amplifiers have a gain of 10. So this circuit is going to work. It's going to be stable. The linear CMOS is not going to self-oscillate, etc., etc., etc. Now let's scroll down. There's some green plots. I don't know. What else did I want to tell you about? Oh, yeah. Please note that for linear CMOS to work, you must use an inverting gate. You can use an inverter. You can take a NAND gate and connect its input pins together to make an inverter, essentially, and use that. But it's got to be a NAND, not an AND, a NAND, because it needs to invert. Same with an OR. You can take an OR gate, tie its inputs together, and use that for linear CMOS. So, let's see. We talked about the scope plots. Oh, let's switch that music around. In fact, let's talk about the music. Well, yeah, let's talk about the music. I want to go over the transistor topology of the NAND gate and the NOR gate. But I want to get this program talked about too. Alright, what you're listening to is annoying. There we go. Here's a weird one. What you're listening to is a Chuck program that I wrote with a linear CMOS model. And the model is a little smoother than linear CMOS. I've got a sigmoidal function, like a distortion pedal. I've got a distortion pedal function, X over 1 plus magnitude of X. Or technically, I think right now I have it set up as X over 0.5 plus magnitude of X. With an inverting gain. And that's my model for a NAND gate. and I added the inputs together to simulate the combination of the two transistors. Alrighty. So, in this program, I wanted to make a linear CMOS program. And I'm interested in using linear CMOS as part of a Boolean sequencer, because you know me, I love this Boolean sequencer thing. And you've heard me describe it, you know what it is. Very quickly, it's a counter driven by a clock, and you take the counter bits and you put them into logic. Take the outputs of the logic, aggregate them with an R2R ladder or just resistors tied together, whatever. And that's your CV. Or if you clock it at audio rates, that's your audio. And the ladder is what's happening here. We're clocking it at audio rates. We're using a 20-bit counter. And I have some variables I can control. We have 6 NAND gate amplifiers modeled. And by the way, I was just talking to you about the inverter model. There's a thing you can do. You can also take a NAND gate and have 2 separate feedback paths because it has 2 inputs and apply a signal. But when I tried it, even with a gain of 10, it self-oscillated. So I'm not sure about the practicality of it unless we crank the gain up even higher. So what this is a linear CMOS inverter with 2 inputs. Actually, because I just added the inputs. So I have some variables I can control. Basically, you're listening to, let's switch it up. It beeps every time I restart it. Well, that's kind of neat. The clock is 2 kilohertz, and we have a 20-bit counter. So that's divide by a million. So, you know, 10 bits changes that, you know, we'll divide that 2 kilohertz clock to a 2 hertz clock. And then the other 10 bits will give you a sequence of 512 seconds. So each of these songs will last up to 512 seconds. Or about, what's that, 8.5 minutes? Yeah, I think so. Okay. Now, to make it interesting, I made a block of M, of these two input inverters wide, that are randomly wired up to the outputs of this 20-bit counter. And then I put one or more layers, M bits wide, after that. And those are wired up with everyone connected to its predecessor and its neighboring predecessor. So the output of logic gate 1 goes to the input of logic gate 1 on the next level. And the output of logic gate 2 goes to the other input of logic gate 1 on the next level. So you see what it's doing. And I can change this. Like, I can make it, it's six gates wide. I can make it 4 gates wide. And it's 3 gates deep. I can make it, I haven't tried 5. Let's try 5 gates deep. So 20 of these gates in a big block. A brick of 20 gates randomly wired up. Here's what it sounds like. meat. Let's hear some more sounds. Oh, this is good. I could do the robot to this. Helbo's probably liking this one. Helbo is our chat room bot. Dance like a robot, Helbo. Come on, Helbo, dance with me. I know Shane can do the robot, like, Shane can do a mean robot, or he claims to be able to do a mean robot dance. I've only seen brief glimpses of it at the festival I went to. But this is repetitive. Helbo likes it. Oh, I like this one. Now, here's something to listen for. With a Boolean sequencer, because of the nature of the binary count and the logic used to generate the CV, or the audio, in this case, the audio signal, you get patterns, you get phrases that repeat, and then change and repeat, and then the same early pattern shows up again, and maybe again a little bit different, really kind of weird. And not only that, but you get little bitty short detailed patterns, medium scale patterns, longer scale patterns. You get patterns within patterns within patterns. And if you listen carefully to a Boolean sequencer, which believe me, I have done, you will pick up on some of these patterns. Let's switch it up. Weird sounds. Something really strange. Let's just use two input gates. Two gates wide and 10 gates deep. I'm sure this is going to sound really bad. Let's try it. Honey, I think the engine is broken. There's steam coming out of the engine. This one best of all. Silence, total silence. I told you that thing was broken. Okay, so we're getting a variety of songs. It's pretty chopped up. I'm not finding much I like. Let's try it the other way. Let's make it only two levels deep, because the way I coded it, I can't make it one level deep. And let's make it 10 bits wide, 10 units wide. So we're 10 by 20 here. And we get something much more drone-ish and smooth. Linear CMOS in action. At least a software model of linear CMOS. That's kind of neat. There's kind of like two sounds going on. Again, two sounds. But what I found was best is if I make it like 8 wide and 3 or 4 deep. Let's try 4 deep. Sounds. We can also change the input clock frequency. Like, let's make it 1000 hertz, half the frequency. A little deeper sounding stuff in general. You don't know really because it's all randomly hooked up, but. Phobos says, nice droney sounds. Phobos likes the drone. He's a man who loves drones. Well, I've noticed it gets more droney when I make it wider. So let's try 3 levels deep. And 12 bits wide. Or better yet, 2 levels deep and 16 bits wide. Because I notice the computer starts messing up when I get more than 32 approximately of these things. So. Alright, this is 16 by 2 with a 1000 hertz input clock. Drone-ish stuff, but I kind of liked it better at 2 kilohertz. Here's 4 kilohertz. Generally speaking, faster stuff. And there's one more thing we can play with, which is the slope of the sigmoid transfer function. Let's set it back up for my favorite, which is an 8 by 3 or 4, say 4. Variety of sounds that I like. And I've got this parameter set at 0.5, let's change it to 1.0, which would be a more gradual slope to the sigmoidal transfer function. And we get smoother sounds. There's less of a square wave-ish harshness to it. Because remember, we've got 4 layers of this linear CMOS logic, so we're putting square waves into it, but they kind of get rounded as they pass through the different layers, or so I imagine, because they're, even though they're constantly weighted, they have, I should change the weighting. Oh, that would be hard to do. No time to do it. There's only 10 minutes left in the show. Maybe next week. I'll do that next week. Let's go the other way and change it to 0.25 for a sharper slope. And I see in the chat room that Edison Rex is ready for his show. He is telling everybody, let me know when Les is done. He is in final prep mode. Get ready to be entertained. We have... I'm going to switch this back to 0.4. No, I'd like 1.0. Let's try that. We have Edison Rex always giving us beautiful piano tunes, rain, birds, modular synthesizers, weird, wacky thing with a million buttons that he bought, and maybe this gorgeous, lovely, beautiful piano that I know nothing about that he bought. Maybe he'll play that. I don't know. I'll miss the beginning part because I gotta... Anyway, stay tuned. And for 8 more minutes, I'm going to sit here and play with this software. Oh, I didn't get to talk about the NAND gig. No time. Alright. Next week, I have no idea what next week's show is going to be about. We'll have to see what happens. If I get the sudden urge to build a circuit. Or write a Chuck program. Maybe we'll talk some about this little bit of linear CMOS that I didn't cover. But anyway, I kind of enjoyed the show. You know what? Gain of 0.5. Setting this parameter to 0.5 gave us more variety. See? Yeah. Input 0.gain, input 1.gain. Oh. I'm gonna try to modify the code real quick. Like neural nets, random waiting on the inputs. Let's see if this works. It worked. I love it when I make little bitty code changes and I don't get a syntax error. Except it sounds weird. Let's give a few more tries. Okay, this is 8 bits wide, 4 bits deep, 8 gates wide, 4 gates deep. With random waiting. Let's try it with 6 gates wide, 5 gates deep. Let's try something droney. Only 2 gates deep and 16 gates wide. I like it with these random waits. was tried 10 bits wide and 3 layers deep. A little too high pitched for my taste. That's a pretty cool one. And in the chat room, Blue Hell is explaining all sorts of interesting linear CMOS facts to people. Thank you for that, Blue Hell. Left. 2 minute warning. Oh man, I wish I had more time, but you know, an hour is enough for you listening to me yammer on about stuff. Today we covered linear CMOS. We talked about some basic CMOS with some kind of botched up examples of the water pipe analogy, and we use that to transition into a description of how linear CMOS works in an analogous way, although we glossed over a lot of details, most of which I forgot from grad school. But I'm just kidding about that. I remember a lot of that stuff, but it's just, you don't need to know it to build these circuits and have fun making music. And took a tour through a thread. Hell, next week you can do many hours. Oh, really? Oh. What's happening next week? One minute left. Somebody tell me. Alright everybody, thanks for listening. We had a real good time. Sounds like nothing next week. No Paul. Well, I don't know what's gonna happen next week. Oh no. Ephemera. No ephemera show next week, so I'm going to talk for as long as I want. Bye. Bye, everybody. Okay. You're listening to the recording. You get some bonus twiddling. Let's just listen to this for a bit. Then I'm going to shut off the broadcast. Well, that's repetitive. Let's end on a good note here. Although some might say there haven't been any good notes the whole show there, Mr. Hall. But a lot of people are into this kind of stuff. It's at least interesting. There's a finally good one. Okay, goodbye everybody. Have a great week, and next week there is no Edison's Ephemera, so I'm going to be able to talk for as long as I want about whatever I want. We'll have an unscheduled duration show. Goodbye, so long, thank you for listening, bye-bye.